Well, thank you, Brother Gall. I'll tell you what an analogy, what a truth. Just remember this, folks, if there'd been no cross, there'd be no Statue of Liberty. I appreciate that good message and song. It is a special day, Veterans Day, of course, coming. And we are speaking of our country this morning. We dressed in the red, white, and blue. And, of course, when we do that, we think of the flag. We think of patriotism. I was thinking in the song service, some of the songs that are so good and so precious to us almost put you outside the mainstream of the culture today. Isn't that strange? I mean, it almost makes us the enemy of certain crowds in America today. Isn't that something? I want you to open your Bibles to a familiar portion. We're going to 2 Chronicles. We're going to chapter 7. This is verses that are often used when we think of America and our country and patriotism and all of that. Remember the psalmist said over there, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Do you know there's other nations that have other gods? But no other nation been blessed like America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about our Christian faith, of course. You know, I recognize today that this portion of Scripture is mainly given to the nation of Israel and to the Jews, but not as much as you might think. We're going to read some verses that are very familiar here in chapter 7. But I want you to also realize that if you went back into chapter 6 and got the context where Solomon is dedicating the temple, he's often called the Solomon's temple. God used Solomon to build the temple. Remember, it was on David's heart, but God wouldn't let David do it. But he let David gather all the materials, remember? He wouldn't let David do it. David had to fight the bloody wars, and so he promised a time of peace under Solomon, and he let Solomon build the temple. And I don't have time to read it all, but if you meditated some through chapter 6, if there's some critic that says, "Are you reading verses that apply to Israel?" Yes. I want to tell you something else. If what was true about Israel in the Old Testament was not true, there wouldn't be any Christianity today either. Better understand, the promised seed came through the Virgin Mary, the Jewish nation. And so here I want you to look in chapter 6, where it tells us over here, "Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of thy people Israel, but is come from a far country for thy great name's sake, and thy mighty hand, and they stretched out arm, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pray in this house, then hear thou from heaven." Do you understand what I'm reading to you there could cover America? It could cover you and I that are not Jews. I mean, truth is, we're blessed because of Israel's God. Need to understand that a little bit, folks. Now I want you to move over to chapter 7. We'll start in the first verses of chapter 7. "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, this is a big service at the temple. This is a big service in God's house, something special. It's a special day. And King Solomon here has dedicated on his knees, and the fire of God has come down and licked up the sacrifice. And when it says the glory of the Lord filled the house, it means the brightness of God came in. Special time. But now that service is over. And you go to verse 12 with me, you'll find out that the Lord is not quite through with Solomon. It says that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer. I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. And there's the promise to Israel, but I say it also spiritually can apply to us. This is a remedy. This is the hope. Look at it in verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be opened and my heart attendant unto the prayer that is made in this place. You know, the question's coming up today with all the troubles that we see politically. Is there any hope for America? Well, I want to tell you the hope is found right here in what I read. If we don't have any hope in God, if we don't have any hope from God, there is no hope. And we'll go on the trash heap of history like all the other nations that have turned their back on God. And folks, you say, what can I do about what's going on in Washington? What can I do about the corruption? What can I do about the crookedness? I tell you what you can do this. You can pray to God in heaven. And he has promised to intervene, to hear. Yes, there's hope. Yes, there's hope. We're still in our flag under God, we say. Our motto is still in the Lord. We trust. In God we trust. We did our pledge this morning, and we still, God's people, still recognize that we are a nation under God. Ronald Reagan, one of our greater presidents, I believe, said this, if we ever forget that we are a nation under God, then we will be a nation going under. And he was so right. Now, he was not popular for saying that, but that's still the remedy. That is still the need. That is still the hope that we have of coming back and being under God like we begun and doing that. That is right. Listen, the truth of the matter is early America trusted in God. And today that's almost blasphemy in so many places, so many circles today. But America is still the hope of the world. You go to the imprisoned people, and by the way, if the same powers take over America that took over these other nations, we will be a slave nation just like they are, under the same kind of dictatorship that they're under. It is important. Other nations do look to America. Sadly, America today is sending off some wrong images and messages. I read this week, I believe it was in Spain. In Spain, that now the birth certificates of the babies can no longer list on the birth certificate a father or a mother. They've got new names for it. Now it is progenerate A or progenerate B on the birth certificate. Can't even use a gender identifying such as father or mother. Folks, we have gone crazy, but we're exporting that trash around the world as we let it take over here in America. But here, I want us to say, understand something. There is hope through God. There was hope in our beginning. Do you listen? One of the things they're trying to destroy today is our foundation of what our history was that proves God was in the founding and the blessing and the preserving of America. We have a famous picture some of you have seen. It's of George Washington kneeling side of his horse, praying for this country in the Revolutionary War. Prayer. I remember reading a story where an old farmer came back into his house. He'd been out in the woods, and he came back into his house during the middle of the Revolutionary War against England, and he came back in, and he called to his wife, and he said, "Honey, we're going to win. We're going to win." She said, "How you know?" He said, "Because I was in the woods and I heard a voice and I looked and I saw our General George Washington on his knees praying," said, "we're going to win." We did win. But God Almighty had something to do with that. He had a lot to do with that, of course. And I want to say the same God that saved us can save us again. We've been through a lot of wars. With the Revolutionary War, we think about the big world wars of 1 and 2. And I want to say we were under threat. And it's a wonderful thing that God raised up America to keep the whole world from going under a ruler like Hitler. I'm proud of all that. But I want to say America probably is about as much danger, if not more, right now than we faced under Hitler. Now, the war's from the inside. Now we got more traitors in America than America's ever had before, betraying what made us great, betraying our very God, the very one that we look to. God delivered us in the past. Even before 1776, even when we were under England, you remember that France and England were at war with each other quite a bit in history. There was a time that 70 French warships moved in against Boston Harbor, were moving in to destroy that colony we speak of now as America. And it looked impossible. They didn't have a standing army. They didn't have a fleet to go out and fight. And the ships for England was not there to defend them at that time. We're talking about a big armada of French ships, 70 of them, moving in against Boston there. You know what the people in Boston did? They called a prayer meeting. And something strange began to happen to those ships. For one thing, a hurricane come up right where the ships were. Started destroying them. Amazing. The admiral of the whole fleet got sick and died. Hey, that's a fact of history. One of the sad things today, our young people are not learning our history. And somebody's rightfully said that if we forget our history, we'll have to repeat it. In other words, we'll have to win our freedom again if we lose it. But those ships began to be destroyed by the hurricane. The admiral died. The second in command fell on his sword. He committed suicide. What caused all that? Some folks praying. And the earlier America, as we would know it, was saved. Later on, we had more than one war with England. We had the 1776. That's the one, you know, we talk about. But England didn't quit. They came back in 1810. They came back in 1812. And in 1812, they burned Washington, D.C. to the ground. And the president ran on horseback for his life. We didn't have the militia there to defeat him at that time. But people began to pray. And when they prayed, a phenomena happened. Tornadoes came up. Hailstones fell. And the history records that the wind was so strong that the cannons that had been unloaded from the English ships in the streets of Washington were tossed around like toys. And all of a sudden, all that army were defeated by the elements, got back on the ships and left. And it was said in England that God defended America. Well, he does. He did. He will if we give him a chance again. But we are in danger today from the inside. I think most of you know that. But here's the hope. The hope's in this verse that I read. The hope's in this formula that we see right here. It says, let's just analyze it again. We've done it before, but it's a special day. I want to do it again. Look at the verse. Look at verse 14 here of chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. The formula says, my people. If my people. You say, well, that's Jews. Well, it's also Christians. We are his people. We're born again in Jesus Christ. We're his. And we're known as a Christian nation. I know that's not popular anymore, but it's still true. And if it becomes untrue, we are going to be in a fix. And it's moving that way. It says, if my people. Now, there's four things listed in this verse. You want to write them down? You can write them. It says four things here. The first one is to be humble. Humble, what does that mean? That don't mean we go around sucking our thumb. It don't mean we're just shy introverts. It means we're humble before God Almighty. We recognize we are under him. It's by his mercy that we're saved. It's by his mercy that we have anything. And so we're humble in the face of God. Listen, there's no VIPs with God. The ground is level at the cross we were singing about. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I remember some fellows came in here one time from a foreign religion. Foreign religions are pushed in our schools and stuff today, but they're not pushed here. And they came in and they said something to me. We are of a higher caste. I said, well, you're in the wrong place. Because we are all the same cast around here, and it's called Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't recognize no VIPs. We don't recognize any elite. They didn't fit. They didn't stay long. The truth of the matter is, brother, the ground is level at the cross. Anybody can come to the Lord, to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we need to realize if we're going to be humble, we've got to be so in front of God. That's what he tells us. And four things here. He said, if they'll humble themselves and pray. Folks, I still know that prayer works, don't you? I was sharing with a preacher. I don't know. This pops in my mind. I'm going to tell it to you. Maybe you remember, some of you. I took this church first Sunday in 1971. Before the year was up, I'd never had one before, but I had a kidney stone. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, bring back some bad memories if you've had one. But somebody said a kidney stone is God's revenge on a man not being able to get pregnant. I don't know. Maybe. I know one thing, ladies. If it's that true, then I sure do sympathize with you. It was bad. And had a little hospital. It's up the road now. It was here in town. So before daylight, I thought my wife had kicked me in the back. Turned out I needed her to take me to the hospital. I was in bad shape. And that thing just got worse and worse there for 24 hours, 48 hours. The doctor came in and he said, "Preacher," and I vaguely knew him. I knew him better later, but older doctor, he came in, he said, "Preacher, you're in a heap of trouble." He said, "The x-ray shows that your kidney is totally darkened and we got to take it out. And we can't take it out here. We got to send you to Lakeland to have it taken out." Man, that was bad news. I mean, I just hardly got my bags unpacked here at the church. That was bad news. I said, "No, doc, no, no." He said, "Oh, if you don't, you may lose them both." He said, "You've got to have it taken out." I said, no, give me a few more hours. Finally, I talked him into saying he'd give me that night. One more night. But he said, "We're going to x-ray you early in the morning. And if it still looks like that, you going." I said, "Okay, one more night." Well, he meant early in the morning. He had them come down at 4 a.m. and take me to the x-ray. 4 a.m. And I figured he's coming, you know, they're coming back with a cart. They're going to ship me over there. But something happened that night. I preached a revival here at the church, and some of you remember this, for a week. Little church, a little building over here, we had 22 in Sunday school that Sunday, 22. And I preached 5 nights. We had 22 more saved. Next Sunday, we had 44. The numbers added right up. By the grace of God. And this had happened. In that 22 that got saved was an old race car flagman. Now, he was a good man here in the community for years, and I knew him, but he was flagging the racetrack when I was a hot rod driver on the racetrack. I knew him from that. He got saved the last night of that revival, 5 nights. And when I came back and took the church, he was a new babe in Christ by about 8 or 9 months. That's about how long he'd been saved. He was not a public speaker. He was not all that outgoing. But that afternoon, just after the doctor left, told me one more night, Sam came into the hospital to see me. Sam never prayed out loud in church. He'd never done anything like that in church. But Sam came in, and I could see he was a little nervous, a little tense. "Preacher, come in and see how you're doing." And I talked with him a minute. I said, "I'm still hurting pretty bad." And without saying, "Let us pray," without any indication, I can cry about it now, Sam fell on his knees right beside my bed, and he started praying out loud. And he said, just asked God to heal me. I don't know what he said. I don't remember. And he wasn't long. And he got up kind of embarrassed acting and left. And so help me God, the pain went away. And the doctor came in the next morning. They'd already x-rayed me at 4. I could hear him whistling down the hall. It was 7:30. He's coming in, whistling. Before he got there, they delivered me breakfast. I knew something was different. He come and leaned on the doorpost, and he said, "Well, you went over my head, didn't you?" Just what he said. "You went over my head." I said, "What are you talking about, Doc?" He said, "That x-ray showed perfect clear." He said, "You can go home when you want to." I'm going to tell you something. Prayer works. Prayer works. It's not always that clear cut, not always, but I have seen it too many times, and it'll work for individuals, it'll work for a nation. If God's people will humble themselves before the Lord, fall on their knees before God. He says, "And seek my face." That don't mean just a little lay me down to sleep prayer. It means something deeper. It means going before God. It says, "And seek my face." And it also says, "Turn from their wicked ways." Now think about it. Turning means repent, turn around, go the opposite direction. It don't mean just say I'm going to do it. It means you did. It means there's a difference. There's a difference. And I want to tell you, if our nation right now would turn from their wicked ways, we'd have power with God. We'd have answered prayer. We'd have deliverance from our enemies. We'd see our young folks getting back in the house of God, giving up the doping and the sinning, but they've been brainwashed into by a corrupt society. I want to say to you, what turning back to God would do for this nation, oh, we can't even imagine. We have examples in the Bible, and I know it is true, to seek my face, to turn back, to go back to God's values. We're in a day and time when God's values are being mocked. Listen, look at it politically all you want to. Somebody said, "I don't know who to vote for." Then you're dumb as a brick if you don't. Are you for killing the babies wholesale? Then don't vote for the crowd that does that. Are you for putting a homosexual agenda and trying to brainwash your kindergartens that they're homosexuals? If you're not for that, then don't vote for the party that is for that. Don't tell me you don't know who to vote for. Thank God you got some choice. And probably for the first time in our long time, we've had a clear-cut choice as we have today. So I don't apologize for that a little bit. Somebody said, "Aren't you afraid somebody going to beat you up at the door?" I am afraid for them. Afraid I'll hurt them. Got to be careful about that. The truth of the matter is, when you're on God's side, you got more power than a lot of folks think you have. Amen. Amen, Mickey. The truth of the matter is, there's a formula that worked for Israel. Proof of it that it did work. It worked for America. It worked for America. Oh, how we need to give God a chance today. I see some hopeful signs. I got home. Yesterday was quite a busy day. I got home well after dark. I don't know, 8:39, something. I didn't see the football game. I'll be honest with you. I would have loved to have seen the Alabama and the LSU. I'd have loved to have seen it. I'm not going to raise your hand. I don't want you to make me covetous of you. I didn't get to see it. But as the news went by, I saw a clip later on, and it showed in that clip on Fox News. I don't watch nothing else. I can't stomach the fake news. So that's about all I watch. But anyway, I saw a clip come by, and it showed that big crowd at that Alabama-LSU football game. I don't know what they said, 80,000 or, I mean, more than we had in Sunday school for sure this morning. I mean, a pretty good-sized crowd. And it showed the president and his wife, and I don't know who else was with him, up in the stands, and it showed all those people standing up and roaring with applause and approval. Now, see, the fake news don't want you to see that. They don't want you to know there's more people know what is right. They want you to think the whole majority is on that liberal, baby-killing, homosexual side, and they're not. There was a time old Elijah the prophet thought everybody in Israel was against him, and God said, I got 7,000 men that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. God's got more people than you think. There is hope out there, and the hope comes from the Lord. And the Lord can speak to hearts, and he can take care of the need. And while we might be sold out from the inside and dictatorship coming as socialism is brought in, it will come. Listen, there is hope, and here's a verse that gives us the hope. We need to stand on it. Now, God says you need to do four things. Humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked way. Then, if you look in the same verse, there's three things God promises to do if we do the four things. Can you get that? Can you see four things we must do? Three things he promises to do if we do the four. He says, I'll hear. I'll respond to you is what he means. Then he says, I'll forgive. It's number two. Then he says, I'll heal your land. Number three. Our land today needs healing. Our land is crying out. You read in the Bible. You go back over there. What is it? Genesis 14. You go back over there and you'll read where the land of Sodom and Gomorrah cried out to God. Cried out because of the sin being practiced in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God heard. And God sent, and God, after taking Lot and the family that would go with him out, he brought the fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But God's mercy, as Abraham argued for a few souls, God's mercy showed up. But God can heal our land. He can cleanse it. He can heal it. I believe if Sodom and Gomorrah, if their land, as it were, cried out to God, I believe America's land is crying out to God. I really believe that. And I believe that he can heal us if we do what he's asked us to do. If we repent, turn back to him, he said he'll hear, he'll forgive, he'll heal the land. Now, what God promised here to Israel, and he promises to America and any other nation that would heed it, he also promises to you as an individual. You do this formula in this verse, and God will not break his promise. He will not deny you. He will keep his word. The prayer that you pray today, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know you will save me. I will turn from my way to yours. You can be here today and you've never received Christ as Savior. The same God that healed Israel, same God that's preserved America, same God that made this promise, makes you a promise. And he said, whosoever will come into me, I'll no wise cast him out. That's a promise to you. If you'll turn from your way, the Bible's full of that word turn. You know that? Turn ye, why will you burn, Ezekiel said. Turn. Come back. Cast your way aside and say, I'm not going that way anymore. I'm going God's way. When you leave that seat and come down that aisle to receive Jesus Christ, and you make an open confession, open commitment that you're turning from your way, anything you were trusting, anything you were believing, and turn into what God said, his way, then God's grace will save you. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. In your own strength, you can't turn from your sin, but he'll give you strength to turn from it. He'll move inside your very soul and give you a power to say no that you've never had before. If you give him a chance. Give him a chance. That's what he wants. And that's the promise of this verse, not only to a nation, but a promise to you. You know, we got a lot of folks sitting on the fence in America. They don't know which way to go because they've had so much doubt cast in their schools and on the politically correct news. They've had so many folks, so many, that have shaken their faith. But God is still the same, and his promises are still the same. You come to him, He'll prove himself with you. Have you done it? Have you ever received Christ as Savior? I pray today that you might receive him. Give him a chance. I think back when we had the sad thing of 9/11 and the towers fell and all the people that lost their lives. And a lot of folks were afraid, especially at first. They thought the world was under missile attack and all that. But it was amazing how people suddenly woke up and wanted to come to church, wanted to hear about Jesus, wanted to get saved. And we had some get saved right here in the building. Might not would have been saved if something, some tragedy like that hadn't happened. Folks, don't wait on a tragedy. You need God. You don't know what the next day is going to bring forth. If you've heard the gospel, how Jesus loved you, died for you, paid the price for your sins, and that if you'll receive him, while the wages of sin is death, he'll give you the gift that's eternal life. It's my prayer this morning that you'll do that. Would you bow your heads with me right now? My heads are bowed. Would you stand, please? This morning, you're in God's house. You've heard from God's book. And you've heard of God's promises. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. This morning, this very moment, if you'll say yes to him, he'll say yes to you. If you'll turn from your way and come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you today. I've stood and given invitation in this building behind this same pulpit for years and years. I've watched people come to Jesus. I've seen the difference he can make in their lives. I've seen some, even as I begged them to come forward, would turn and go out and reject him. And I've seen the results of that also. I say to you, it's an important time today, what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray as we sing a verse of song this morning, in just a moment, you'll come receive him. Father, I pray for your spirit to draw. I pray, Father, that you would encourage every soul and that they would see there is no hope without you. No hope for our nation, no hope for the individual without the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, right now in this moment of invitation, that you'd speak to hearts and that your spirit would draw. Even as we invite them to come, that they would come and receive Christ this very moment. For we ask it in his name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Burke to lead us in a song. Will you meet me here? Will you come? I pray you will as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Will you come as we sing? Will you come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul.
Saying you can come.
Just
will you do it this morning? Will you do it?
I am though tossed about with many.
God told Israel, you do four things, I'll do three. He's telling you this morning the same thing. He'll more than meet you halfway. He's the answer, he's the hope. No hope without him. How about you? How about you?
I come.
Let's bow our heads just a moment. Invitation still open. You're in a good spot, in a good place, where God's Spirit is speaking to folks, and some have come. You may not be this close again. The Holy Spirit of God is not obligated to call you forever. Has He asked you to come this morning? Be seated and share with you something here. I'm going to ask Brother Gary. You say Ulo? Is that Brother Gary Ulo? Brother Gary, come on up here. Brother Gary was giving me his testimony this morning. Sunday school. Brother Condon, I believe, had the privilege of leading him to the Lord, and he wants to come follow the Lord in baptism this morning. And then we have Rohan. Rohan, come up here and stand with you. Last name's Rodney. Is that it? Rohan Rodney?
Yes, sir.
And you've been saved and you want to follow the Lord in baptism. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Show of hands to receive these as I've stated. And we'll ask the men to go around there with them and get them ready for baptism. Amen? Just go right around this way, please. Amen. Well, that's great. I guess I got all the names here. Folks, God's still in the saving business. You know that?
Amen.
He can save people. He can save nations. But he's got to be invited in. He's not a big bully that'll push his way in on you. But he'll save you if you give him a chance. He'd save our nation if we... And I see some hope. I realize the Bible's going to be fulfilled all the way. But I'm not supposed to just roll over and not resist evil. You're supposed to resist it. We're told to do it. And God will help us if we'll do what that verse said. We'd turn back to him. If he'd turn back to him. It might happen. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if your grandkids could have America like you had to grow up in? Wouldn't that be great? I just don't want to surrender to the devil. And I know my champion's on the way sooner than a lot of folks think. He's coming back. Amen. He really is. All right, Brother Bert, would you lead us in something, please?
482 in your hymn books, going right along with what we've just heard. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. 482. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be heard. Our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory. Victory, oh glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, truth all girt about. Shall tremble 'neath our victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen.
Garrett, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is your Lord and Savior. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
All right, let's stand. I didn't know if the water was cold or maybe just wet. All right. Brother Perkins, take the mic and dismiss us, please.
Father, we do thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us in the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this great nation that you've given us. And Father, we thank you for all those that's defended it, Lord, and has given their lives. And Father, we just thank you for those. And pray that you'll continue to bless the families. And Father, as we dismiss today, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.